Welcome back to the Bad Balance Podcast, where every shot makes someone happy. And this week, it's just Kyle De Silva and I. And fun fact, that's how this podcast actually started. And so it feels like the good old days, or maybe the bad old days, however you want to look at it. And we cover the 3M Championship, the LIV Golf JTC Classic? JTB Classic? LIV finally has a sponsor, I guess. As well as good bounce, bad bounce, and our leaderboard of the best French foods as we talk about the Olympics. Because it's just the two of us, it's a much quicker pod, so let's get straight into it. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Manners Golf. When golf first became popular during COVID, there seemed to be a split between hypey fashion and performance brands, and Manners tries to thread the needle between the two. And if you go to the website right now, it is summertime. They have a new summer capsule, some short sleeve shirts, a new Goat PK polo, a striped shirt across horizontally, as well as some different collared shirts and some sunglasses that are perfect for the summer, collabing with Spectrum Golf. And when you go to mannersgolf.com, use discount code BBB15 for 15% off. That is discount code BBB for 15% off. And with that, let's get into the podcast. We're back and we're missing Stin and Nico, so it's just Kyle and I.
Half strength.
Kind of half strength. Kind of back to the old days.
The first like 8 episodes.
Yep. It was just you and I.
Yeah. Those were the times, man.
Yep. With the idea that you think exactly the opposite of me, so we'd make a great podcast.
It is still true to this day.
And you had the famous quote that all our friends always use about the winner of the LIV Tour this week. Finally winning on the LIV Tour. Still having a top 10 in every single event and finally won. What was your quote about Mr. John Rahm?
What was my quote? I don't know.
You're like, he's a cutter who makes putts.
Oh, he's a cutter that makes putts, yeah.
You're not a huge John Rahm guy.
I wasn't, I think, until he joined LIV.
Right, when we started, like, I was like, this is perfect. You're super pro LIV. That's when LIV was at its peak,
yeah,
of like recruiting people, and I was like really anti, which I wasn't at first, but then the more I thought about it, I'm like, this tour doesn't make sense. And so we would argue about that. We had some ideas of doing 2 pods a week, 1 reviewing the tournament, 2 doing a segment called Fact or Fiction.
Yes.
Oh, no. What was it? Not Fact or Fiction.
Foolishness?
Yeah, Facts or Foolishness. Yeah. And we would like be like, John Rahm is the best player in the world. Facts or Foolishness. And we would talk about it for 25 minutes.
We'd also do a podcast for half an hour and decide that it wasn't good enough and restart.
And scrap it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the days. Oh, we like couldn't pull the trigger. We just couldn't start.
Yeah.
We still have a Fact or Foolishness somewhere, but we didn't air it because we literally just
thought it sucked.
We were just yelling at each other for 45 minutes about LIV versus PGA.
I could see that.
And it wasn't like at all enjoyable or laid back. It was actually quite tense. And we were like, huh, this wasn't the original idea. The original idea was to get drunk and talk. But now here we are podcasting and just full circle. It's just us two and the cutter who makes putts. The guy who whips it around his hip and just turns and cuts it. Wins on the LIV Tour.
And I couldn't be any happier for the guy.
Yes. He finally gets a win. And he was barking at some people earlier in the week.
Yeah, your guys' theory, you and Nico, that John Rahm hates the LIV Tour is slowly growing on me.
He hates the LIV Tour, but he doesn't regret his decision, is what we always say. Yep. Very happy with his decision, hates the tour. Or we could say the tour can use some work.
I mean, was he like this on the PGA Tour and we just never saw it?
Probably. Right? Yeah. But it is golf, but louder, you know?
It's just the players that are louder shouting at the fans. I mean,
the fans are louder.
There's only 12 of them there, John. Like, I don't understand how loud they could be.
Hey, this week, there was a good amount in London.
Yeah, we're watching the highlights right now. It does look like a lot.
There was a lot more.
The Brits love golf.
They do, and the weather's perfect, and they don't have a ton of tournaments going on right now. They'll go out and watch it. That's true. A drink. Have a good time. And a European one.
Very true.
And it was a great leaderboard. I mean, Tyrrell hadn't finished a second. And missing a 5-foot on the last hole. And I never thought we would lead the pod talking about LIV. But this is what LIV should have been doing from the beginning, is on the weeks where there's a 3M championship, go to a major city, London, which is LA, Europe, and host a tournament. And
I still think it's dumb they're doing it the starting week of the Olympics. someone in the scheduling is. I mean, the Olympics are in Paris too.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Hop, skip, and a jump away yeah. from London.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is totally random, but you know, basketball. I was reading up on today. It's a 4-hour train ride away from where they have the ceremony. It's not even close.
Well, a lot of it's not really.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. You saw the surfers are staying on a cruise ship.
Yes.
The floating Olympic village.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they were talking about in LA in 4 years. They're thinking about hosting the Olympics at Cal Club Olympic in San Francisco.
I mean, that's ridiculous to call it a Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Olympics.
Exactly. But yeah, here we go. That was Talking Live.
That was Talking Live.
Now, the 3M Championship, Johnny Vegas.
I forgot how much I like Johnny Vegas.
He was sick, and he still is.
He was a Nike, you know, back in the day, our time, when you were a Nike player, that meant you were somebody.
Yes.
And you were going to be a somebody.
And Nike would buy all the logo spots.
Yeah.
The logo spots are left arm, left chest, right arm.
Hat,
left side, back.
And front, obviously.
And front, and then the back of your shirt.
Yes.
Those are I believe, 12 spots.
Plus shoe deal as well. They would cover.
They would buy every piece.
Yeah.
Yep. They would buy every piece. They were like, we don't want our athletes looking like NASCAR out there.
So when they did it, you just instantly believed this guy was going to be an incredible player.
And he was.
Vegas was. Yeah.
Yep. Had a foster home growing up that took care of him. And the coach of this college that he went to, the University of Texas, was looking at Casey Wittenberg. Remember Casey Wittenberg?
I do not remember.
Really? Casey Wittenberg played on tour for a long time, and now he here and there he does Golf Channel stuff.
He has a podcast.
Just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And he was a great player, and then he came across this guy from Venezuela named Johnny Vegas, and was like captivated by the guy, took him, and he became a great player. And he wins after it's been 7 years because he's had neck and shoulder injuries.
You know, I feel like it's been longer in my eyes.
It
what
does
was
feel
his
longer.
Last win?
It was, you know, that's a good question.
I know he won at Torrey Pines, right? That's his flagship win.
Did he?
Look it up. Fact check.
His last, the 2017 RBC Canadian Open.
Wow.
That was his last win. Yeah. So the 2017 RBC Heritage, or the RBC Canadian Open. And then this week, I was reading up on this. So this is crazy to me. Vegas was determined to get back. This is from the PGA Tour. To get back to this moment, but it was far from guaranteed. He nearly missed all of 2022-2023 season with elbow and shoulder injuries. Doctors told him he would never fully heal after a piece of his bone in his elbow broke off and lodged into his elbow joint. Surgeons removed the bone, and Vegas started to play again, but shoulder issues arose shortly after. That's gnarly. That he would never heal again because a piece of his bone from his elbow fell off and lodged into his elbow joint.
That sounds so painful.
That sounds extremely painful. And I was trying to look at how it happened, but it sounds like it's just from golf. But yeah, that was what happened, and he started struggling with injury. But the interesting thing is, in the last 7 years, his best putting season was 105th in strokes gained.
Jeez.
So to me, it was more putting than anything. But even this year, he's only played 7 events. He's just injured. It sounds like one of those things like Freddie, where he was just like, I'm always going to have a limited schedule. I'm never going to be able to play fully. I don't know. Who knows? Now that he won, we're about to find out. But he recently changed putters.
To the lab.
To the lab. The lab and the Jailbird are just taking over.
Taking over the game. Anything like, but a Newport 2 looking blade is winning.
And although Phil just went
back to the number 9.
Not back to the... No, that's even smaller.
His classic little blade. Shape. Yeah.
Yep. Got rid of the big old lab. But yeah, the lab putter seems to save the day. And he was 7th in putting this week. And there we go.
I mean, shout out to lab.
Shout out to lab. Shout out to Johnny Vegas. We're going to go down the leaderboard real quick. Max Graersman.
Is it Graersman or Graserman?
It's Graserman.
We've butchered this last name so many times.
It's
how
only me.
I know it. I have no idea.
It's only me who keeps butchering it. It's Graserman.
Okay.
Max Graserman, a rookie. He has 2 top 10s, and now he has a 2nd place. So good rookie campaign. First in punting this week, he was making everything. And Nico picked him this week.
Go, Nico.
Top 20 for his bet. He won that one. Of the bets that we took, all of them hit except yours. Because well, you took Akshay Bhatia to win.
I was going for the throat.
You really were.
I was going for the throat.
And to finish one behind him is Maverick McNeely.
We gave Austin so much shit. Such a hard time. Pick.
And Maverick McNeely showed up. It's just crazy. But I think the one who gave it up was Matt Kuchar. He was first in strokes gained approach, first in strokes gained off the tee, or tee to green, 63rd in putting. And that putting looks suspect.
Right arm lock.
Right arm. You could see it like hitting up as
with
it goes.
A center shaft.
Yeah, it just
coming from the man who basically invented the arm lock style putting
on the left arm.
On the left arm.
So when you have it on the left arm, you can hit more down and through it and kind of keep the putter lower. In theory,
you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the basis of putting is keeping the hand slightly ahead of the putter head
to keep the putter low
for forever
and to limit face rotation and good contact, yes.
And now he's just going dead opposite of that.
And you could see him. He's hitting, like, this putter's going straight to the sky. It looks like he's getting his nose.
Like he has to have a Bryson loft on that putter. Negative one.
Yeah.
Just for it to sit at four.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just goes straight inside and then up as he hits it.
Looks awful.
It can't be comfortable.
No. And he's a big dude. It looks like he's using a really short putter.
He's also been doing this for, I mean, at least close to a year now, maybe more. We've been talking about this.
Yes, definitely more. And like he was, when he went to the left arm lock, he was one of the best putters out there. And now he, you know, this can happen to old age. Like he looks awful with the putter. And it's just kind of the last guy I thought that would happen to. But he shot even today and lost by two. And so he probably, I always look at like who's the guy who should have won. Kind of seems like it was him.
100%. Kuchar's one of a generational ball striker.
Yep.
No matter how funny it looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great player. But 46 years old, great story. Just the putter failed him this week. Going down the list further, we can skip through Taylor Pendrith, Kurt Kitayama, Patrick Fishburn, and Sahith Theegala. Second in strokes gained off the tee.
That's absurd for him.
63rd approach. So I've been saying he's like, I looked it up earlier. I think he's 22nd in strokes gained off the tee this year.
I have a hot take that Sahith is better from the rough.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was coming from the fairway.
It shows.
Was abnormal.
Right.
We were just watching the highlights. The closest shot he hit in the final round was from a fairway bunker.
Yeah, he did hit that to like four and missed
4 feet and missed it.
Yep. No, yeah, but his game is curious. Like I was watching him and he looked the worst out of anyone who finished in the top 10. And that's how good he is.
That's kind of the game he plays. He's very volatile. Anything can happen. He can make five birdies in a row or five bogeys in a row at any given moment.
That's kind of what happened. He on 8 and 9, he makes terrible bogeys. Then, or 7 and 8, then 9, he has a 10-footer, misses it. 10, he hits a fairy bunker shot at 4 feet, misses it. And then starts hooping putts from out all over the place.
Yeah.
You miss that short of a putt on 10, you're guaranteed outside top 30 strokes in putting.
Yeah.
And he was ninth. That's all his game. I wish he would stabilize a little bit, but, you know,
it's coming.
He's
his career is still very, very early.
Yeah, he's going to get a bunch of these. All right. I mean, that's the 3M championship.
Yeah, go get your car windows tinted by 3M.
It was a fun tournament, but just the names.
Like, that's what the winner gets. They get their car tinted, for free.
In the Colonial, you get a car.
Yeah.
In 3M, you get it tinted.
So if you're the Colonial winner, you drive that to the 3M and get it tinted.
Tinted, yes. Yeah, I don't have much more to say. It's the 3M championship.
I don't either. It was a good tournament, though. As much as I like to talk smack on these lesser events, I mean, anyone on the front page of the leaderboard had a chance to win.
Sure.
At one point, putts were just going in everywhere, and the board is just name going from the bottom to the top, bottom to the top.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, I'm glad Johnny Vegas won. It was exciting to see him up there. If he didn't win, it was someone else. I don't know if I would have felt as happy.
You just like a big burly man that wins.
It's a good story. He's an easy guy to get by. I do think he's like pretty emotional out there.
Yeah.
And I wish he would tone that back a little bit. But no, it was fun. It was a great tournament.
He's going to get to go to the Masters for the first time since 2017.
He's got the snap hook on dial, so he can use that on.
He's got the lab now, so he can roll it online.
He can roll it online, and he can snap hook it around 2 and 9. All right. Still a good bounce, bad bounce. I'll go first, and it's Team USA in the Olympics.
We talking basketball?
We are not talking basketball.
We talking relay?
We are not talking relay. We're talking about the first medal that came America's way.
Oh, four. Wait, what?
Yep. Yep.
Gymnastics?
It was the women's synchronized springboard.
Is this diving?
Yes. And the winners of the silver medal from the USA are S. Bacon and K. Cook.
Oh,
Cook
yeah.
Cooking bacon.
Yes.
With the first American medal, couldn't be prouder.
Couldn't be more American.
Couldn't be more American
as well.
Cooking bacon. That's my good bounce.
That's a tough one to beat.
And my bad bounce.
Some would say they were sizzling out there.
My bad bounce is baseball, because there was a game that there was a bench clearing brawl in Colorado, and it's because pitcher Cal Quantrill yelled, "You jacked off in a parking lot," to Reese McGuire. Which then I found out later, doing some research, that Reese McGuire, in fact, got caught jacking off in a parking lot in Florida. And as a criminal charge, due to him jerking off in a parking lot. And so all he would do is yell at him after they got into a little bit of a little tussle. As they're walking off, he goes, "You jacked off in a parking lot." And then the bench is cleared and they fought.
You know, kudos to McGuire's team for clearing the bench for something
for
that their
guy.
Teammate actually did that is so outrageous and stupid.
Yeah, they're backing their guy.
I like it. I would hope that if I got caught for the same exact thing that you, Nico, and Austin would also come to my support.
Would back you?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. You didn't hurt anybody.
I mean, he didn't.
No.
You get caught for that has to be awkward as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he was...
Like all of a sudden, you're just in the thick of things. You get a little tap on the window. I mean, your heart just goes fucking through the roof.
You think he was watching... You think he was blasting the volume in his Tesla or something? It's just...
I would hope that he's not just staring at people outside.
No, I doubt that. I'm sure it's just the car's making a lot of loud noises.
He's just playing it on the giant Tesla screen.
Yes, and it's just so loud that like the cops are like, "What is this?" Or my other theory is the Apple glasses weren't out yet, but the Quest AI, the glasses that Meta has.
Yeah.
They was watching porn in AI.
In his car.
And so if you have...
I need to know more about this story. Like, was he close to home? Was he out of town?
It was in Florida. So he's like, I don't know where he's from. I mean, he plays for Toronto. I can't imagine he lives there, but...
Okay, so he wasn't near home. So like he could go home, handle his business.
Right. Or maybe the in-laws were in town.
You never know. Athletes are weird. This could be some sort of ritual. Like he has to pop one before, you know?
Right. Sure. I still think he was using the glasses. Virtual reality, VR.
I would hope that it's something like that and Tesla didn't notify the police because he's playing porn on a screen.
Right.
And they know the car is stationary.
Right. Yeah, so that's a bad bounce.
That's a bad bounce.
Jerking off.
Foul ball.
All right, Kyle?
All right, my good bounce of the week is Team USA actually winning a basketball game how they should have today. Right.
Because we were
down by what? It was like 20-6 to start the game.
Right. And we haven't looked great in the exhibition games.
I mean, Gilbert Arenas got flamed for how he talked about South Sudan.
Right.
Almost beating us.
Right.
But we did almost lose to South Sudan.
Yeah.
And we have compiled the dream team.
Right. And then you started reverse engineering, being like, do we not have enough, you know, size, and can people shoot
on? The rules change, and now there's 60 NBA players in the Olympics instead of 8, like, you know, during the Dream Team days.
Exactly, and it's just like, oh my God, we're going to lose, and then they come out and lay the smack down.
But it didn't look like it until Durant just went God mode.
I know, right?
8 for 8, 5 for 5 from the three.
Yeah. And also, like, that's why Tatum didn't play, because Durant was going off.
Yeah, very true.
And a lot of this Olympic stuff right now just feels very legacy defining.
For LeBron.
For LeBron. I mean, they're clearly trying to almost give LeBron his flowers at this point.
Right.
Like, it's, I don't want to say this isn't the best way that Team USA could play basketball, but I don't know if this is the best way Team USA can play basketball.
How would you change it?
Like, at this point, is Steph and KD playing off each other a better offensive option than LeBron running the show? I don't know. It just feels very like they're trying to...
Searching.
No, they're trying to let LeBron play his last Olympics and have him run the show.
I also think that the agenda of trying to get LeBron to be the GOAT of basketball over Michael...
Maybe that. But also just like out of a respect and for how many years LeBron has played Olympic basketball, I'll be like, LeBron, this is your Olympics. Here you go. Take the torch, literally and figuratively. And like, this is your team.
I like that.
He's playing point forward right now. I mean, it's just so like LeBron-centric. And so, yeah. I mean, I put money on LeBron to lead the team in assists plus 110 because like he's going to have the ball
every time.
Day. Yeah, exactly.
I have seen this nasty rumor that LeBron, is it Rich Paul?
Uh-huh.
That's his manager?
Yeah.
Management company?
Right.
Is fact-checking all of Jordan's stats to try and find fakeness in it? My thing is, if you have to do that, we already know who's the GOAT.
Right.
If you're trying to derail
for
somebody.
For sure. That's a little shady. For sure.
But I like it. I like playing a little dirty sometimes.
That's a little loser talk, though, for sure.
But you know what they say about wrestling with pigs? You don't know what they say?
I actually don't know the saying, no.
Everybody gets dirty.
I've actually never heard that one.
I think I heard it on like a Yellowstone clip from TikTok.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so Team USA.
Go Team USA. My favorite sport in the Olympics. Yes. I'd probably get flamed for that if we were more famous. So
no, it's fun. It's great.
It's yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Team USA, they showed what they're made of. They're really freaking good.
I wonder how we'll look back on this team. Like, is there going to be a documentary about them?
Maybe.
In 20
supposedly there's like 30 camera people there.
Oh, really?
That a lot of these guys are bringing their own camera people.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this whole new era of sports docs where it's like all autobiographical, where they make their own produced a Johnny Manziel podcast or Johnny Manziel 30 for 30 produced by Johnny Manziel.
Right.
And they like tell their own story.
Right.
Like the whole Tim Donahue arrest thing where you know that story, right?
No.
So Tim Donahue is a ref in the NBA who fixed games. He was gambling big money people he was gambling for and fixing games for, and he got caught and went to jail.
Okay, I have heard this story, I just don't know who it was.
Yeah. And including our Lakers that won a championship. The game was fixed when they beat Sacramento.
Don't want to believe that.
Game 6.
Could definitely see that, though.
Yes. We should have lost that game. That Sacramento team, Kings team was really good, but they fixed it for us.
Go Tim Donahue, then.
And so,
free Timmy.
Yeah, so Tim Donahue, he had this big... he did this whole Netflix doc, Untold, the sports series.
Yes.
And he had one where he produced it himself. It was all made up. It's all BS. And I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about it, and they're like, why doesn't he just come forward and say he did it? And he's like, he would be liable for every single person who's ever bet on a game that he reffed. He would owe billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, more than that.
And he doesn't have that. And so he can never admit to it. That's a bad bounce.
That's a bad bounce.
That is a bad bounce. Anyways, so yeah, there's a bunch of camera people there. We will see many documentaries.
Oh, it's going to come out the week after the Olympics.
You think KD's not going to have his own documentary about himself and how he was misunderstood and this won't be a part of it?
KD's documentary is just going to be one giant thirst trap because he loves the baddies. It's just going to be all highlights of him sweaty and muscular.
Sweaty and muscular?
Yeah.
You know he's the highest scoring Olympian of all time?
I can definitely see that.
He's a great Olympic player, and he just did it again.
Love that. Go KD.
Go KD. All right, your bad bounce?
That is Joe Biden stepping down.
Unfortunate.
And it is because we will never see the match between him and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Yeah, what is Donald Trump going to talk about now?
Nothing.
I feel like the whole golf thing gave him some energy.
Kamala doesn't play golf.
Yeah, I know. That's tough. That's a bad bounce.
Well, he might bring it up and say that he knows he can beat her.
She's going to be like, I don't even play golf.
Yeah. What? The entire world would love to see a match between two presidents.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. You know what's so funny, though? It's like conspiracy theory culture is at its highest right now.
I'm a part of it.
Yep. There was a real, like for 3 or 4 days, there was a real conspiracy theory that Joe Biden was dead.
I believed it.
And people were like, he is dead.
I actually still believe it.
He stepped down because he's dead.
I still believe it.
It is just like an AI version of him.
My Twitter's filled with conspiracies, Josh.
Wait,
you know the live speech he gave on TV?
Yeah.
His watch was 2 hours behind.
Yeah. The TV time. I saw that too, yeah.
So obviously that's an AI avatar and he's dead. I mean, there's...
He's dead.
Yeah, we used to have, you know, a little conspiracy Kyle. He's still out there.
Yeah. No, conspiracy theory, like, culture is at its peak.
Peak.
The one that's, I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist, but I have my times where I like looking at conspiracy Reddit because it's fun. The JFK one is still very strange.
1,000%. Well, the government did that. You want to know my hardest conspiracy theory as to why?
Sure.
We're just going way over and off topic here.
Yep.
He had one Secret Service agent that was replaced the night before that Mrs. Kennedy picked.
Okay.
And he was the only one to react when Kennedy was shot. None of the other ones did because they knew it was going to happen.
Mm. What's weird
There's
is they...
There's conspiracy Kyle for you.
The weirdest part was they were supposedly the shooter was up in the building, right?
Yeah.
But when he got shot, you see all of their eyes. They look towards the grassy knoll.
The grassy knoll.
So there's someone in the grassy knoll. I mean, in the movie The Irishman, they say it was the mob.
I believe it's the mob as well. So I'm all over the map. Yeah. I'm all over the map.
Right. I think it's the mob.
It was everybody, Josh. It was everybody.
It was definitely not some Lee Harvey Oswald.
No. That's just a made up name.
Yeah.
That guy doesn't exist.
Okay.
We gotta end this segment.
Yeah, we are off the
rails.
The 3M championship? We don't have that much to talk about.
That's true. That's very true.
Conspiracy theories are way more interesting than 3M championship. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with our Olympic picks. We're back and we're going to talk about the Olympics. Somehow, some way, Nico Mendoza last week picked Grayersman. Top 20 plus 260 and won that point.
That brings us all even. 1-1-1-1.
Stan got the point for the pool. Because he took Maverick and Neely over Tony Finau, over Akshay Bhatia, over Billy Horschel, who ended up withdrawing. And so he gets a point. So it's Stin is in the lead with two, and the rest of us have one.
Okay.
They're not here this week, and the odds are not out. So we're going to pick two winners. And we're going to do one who we think is going to win, and the one for the odds. The odds of the winners are out, but not for anything else. So, Kyle, I'll give you the first pick.
You're just going to give it to me?
Yeah.
I was prepared to go rock, paper, scissors for this.
No, go for it.
I mean, just a true American from rags to riches. You can go to jail and play in the Olympics.
Mm.
Scottie Scheffler to win.
The reason why I gave it to you is like, Xander Schauffele is probably just as good of a pick and a former gold medalist.
That's very true. He's right? Just as good of a pick.
At this moment. And so I like to take Xander
from
Schauffele.
The jail. To the gold medal story.
Do you like
I'm
that?
Here for the storyline.
Right. Okay.
From orange to gold.
And Scotty is the favorite at plus 330 to win.
Yes.
And Xander is second at plus 550.
So you're taking Xander?
I'm going to take Xander to win.
Okay.
But what do you want to take for your odds money bet?
I'm going to go Rory McIlroy plus 700.
Plus 700. So he's going to... Okay, let's. I mean, the odds will come out later, so we could do it later. What would you take? Let's say Rory top 10.
Plus 150.
Yeah, probably.
I was going to say top five is maybe plus 350.
Yeah, something like that.
So I'd rather take him plus five.
Plus top five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus 350.
So I got to go above that.
If I have to, I'll take him to win plus 700.
Yeah, you do what you want to do.
Rory McIlroy to win plus 700.
So John Rahm is at plus 1,200. Not a bad pick.
Not a bad pick. Coming off a fresh live win. He's going to get mad at the crowds here.
In France?
They're a little rowdy, I'm assuming. Olympic crowd. Also, no one could be watching because they're watching other sports like
right,
track.
That's, there's a chance. There's you a know, chance.
Swimming.
Minwuli is plus 4,000.
You're going to take him to win the gold medal?
No, I'm going to take him because we're doing odds.
Oh, top 10?
If he's plus 4,000, give him top 10. That's got to be better than plus 700.
Plus 700?
Yeah, that's around plus 700?
Yeah, maybe like 750. Yeah. I'll give you plus 750 right
all
now.
All right, plus 750. I'm going to take...
Himwuli?
Himwuli, top 10 over Rory McIlroy winning.
Okay.
That'll be my pick.
I think the only way that happens is if he has a little rat in his hat pulling the strings.
A little ratatouille?
Yeah.
I just feel like he's going to get hyped for the Olympics. He's going to find a way.
Definitely. And his Instagram videos is going to be hyped as well.
Yes, for sure. All right. That was quick and easy. I mean, we know nothing about this golf course, so we'll find it the hard way. Are you going to watch it?
What is even the name of it? Is it called Le Golf Club? Le Eiffel Club?
Le Golf National.
You got to be shitting me.
Le Golf National.
Le Golf National. I basically had it. You have to be shitting me. I have this joke with my sister that the French language is just English, but you say it in a French accent.
Hey, you just put Le in the beginning?
Yeah.
Le Golf National.
Le Golf National. Hey, if you want French onion soup, you know what it's called?
What is it?
Soup d'onion.
D'onion.
That's how you would say it.
Is
le
it really?
Soup d'onion. Grace and I asked everyone in France for French onion soup. Finally, one guy is like, soup d'onion? Still didn't find the fucking thing.
That's not how it's actually said.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
There's no way.
I'm not even kidding you.
Oh, my God. Well, good thing we know French then.
You know how to say Eiffel Tower?
Eiffel.
Tour de Eiffel. I'm not even kidding you. It's not a language. It's an accent.
It's a fake language.
It's a fake language. Tour de Eiffel.
And that was talking France.
Yeah. We should do the French minute next week.
The French minute.
Ho ho.
The French's 2 minutes or
yeah.
something?
Yeah. No, Chaufflé.
I'm down.
Chaufflé.
Yeah.
Les Andelles.
We'll do the French 2 minutes next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Scotty Chaufflé.
Scotty Chaufflé. Oh, that was good. All right. We are back to do the leaderboard. And in honor of the Olympics, it is a leaderboard of the best French food. You got the first pool pick, so I will take the first pick in the draft. And give me crepes.
Fuck, dude, that's a good one.
Specifically chocolate crepes. I like a sweet crepe over a savory crepe.
Oh, what? I think everybody does.
Do they have savory crepes in France?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably more savory
right.
than sweet.
Right, right.
Because they're weird like that.
All right, well,
chocolate, like you throw a little strawberry on there, a little strawberry, a little banana, or are you going just straight chocolate? We talking milk, we talking dark. I mean,
we're going
nuts, no nuts,
chocolate with nuts,
whipped cream,
ice cream.
Okay, specifically, what kind of ice cream?
Vanilla,
French vanilla,
French. Oh, I see you teed me up for that, and I shanked it out of bounds. That was nice, Kyle. That was nice.
I shanked it out of bounds.
All right. So that's my first pick is crepes.
Well, I was going to pick French vanilla ice cream, even though that's probably not even a real thing. And big ice cream just made the name up.
Yeah, right. You could take it.
No. I'm going fries. Because they're obviously French, as its surname is French.
Why is it called fries?
Because they're from France.
Are they
Unless
actually?
You're in Paris, they're just called fries.
Really?
No, I'm lying out of my ass here. I have no idea. But for sure, I could get a third grader to believe me here.
Right.
So French fries.
Let's look it up.
They got to be called like frites.
Right, right.
Just say it in a French accent.
Frites.
Yeah,
frites. Why are French fries called French fries? Oh, it's said that the dish was discovered by American soldiers in Belgium during World War I, and since the dominant language of southern Belgium is French, they dubbed the tasty potato French fries.
So, of course, something fantastic in France was discovered by Americans.
They dubbed it French fries dipped in ketchup and mayonnaise are popular in Utah. What the hell? Why was that thrown in there?
Mayonnaise is wild. Wild.
Yeah. French fries are gravy.
I know people like it. What?
Yes. French fries are gravy. Unbelievable.
I have never had that.
You've never had French fries with gravy?
No.
What fries? Dude.
Where the hell have you had that?
You know the hat?
Yes.
There.
What kind of gravy are we talking about here?
Dude, just
like
gravy.
Biscuits and gravy? Yeah. Gravy?
Yep.
Game changer. I'm going to see if the hat's open right now.
Dude, I'm down to go with you after. And then, it's only 10:30 p.m. We usually get it with pastrami on top.
Jesus, it's wild. Josh.
It's wild. All right, you get a second pick.
Chocolate souffle.
Good pick.
It's hard to beat.
It is hard to beat. And I am not going to be proud of my next one.
If you say snails, I'm walking out of the podcast.
Escargot.
You got to be escargot? Shitting me. You like escargot?
I do like escargot.
You can say that with a straight face?
I don't love escargot, but I like escargot.
So it's your under crepes?
Crepes?
You're going a delicious sweet treat, and then next up, snails.
We're not building the greatest dinner of all time, because crepes would be at the end.
Well, obviously, you pick snails.
I would... Escargot, I would... I don't love it, but I like it. It's got a nice breading on it. It's a little salty for me. A little salty for me, but... You don't like it?
I can't get over the fact that I'm eating a
snail. Have you had one?
Yes, one. When I was like 9.
It's good.
My mom gave it to me. I ate it. I was like, that's bad. She's like, that's a snail. And then I scarred.
And you started crying?
Trauma moment.
Okay. I really can't think of any more. I mean, I'm going to pick this just because it's a movie. Is Ratatouille?
You haven't even had Ratatouille.
I have never had Ratatouille. But I know.
How can you pick it then?
I know it's a French food because of the movie.
So are snails.
I've eaten snail.
That's wild.
It's delicious.
Wild. Ratatouille probably tastes good.
I'm going to look up what a ratatouille even is.
It's like zucchini built in a circle.
What?
With sauce.
Ratatouille. It's for vegetarians?
Wow.
From the French word touille, meaning to toss.
What does it mean?
Hoc touille.
What does it mean?
To toss.
See, touille.
Touille.
Touille's that ball.
Featuring a colorful collection of eggplant, zucchini, peppers, onions, and tomatoes, ratatouille can be prepared by either baking all the vegetables like a casserole or sauteing them with olive oil, garlic, salt, and pepper. The resulting stew can be served cold or hot. I'm out.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I took it, so I'm gonna.
I'll let you change it.
All right, I'm gonna change it, and I'm gonna take duck confit.
I can't with you.
What? I've had duck confit.
Okay. All right. Then I can take it. All right. Duck confit.
Confit.
So duck with feet is what you're saying. I'm making a joke. My jokes are not landing tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not fluent in French like you.
You are. You say it in an accent.
You threw me off when, like, onion soup is French de onion or whatever.
It is. Soup de onion. Yeah. And you could have taken French onion soup.
I don't like French onion soup.
Wild. Wild.
You like French onion soup?
110%. I like French onion soup.
Do you like creme brulee?
Yes.
I hate creme brulee.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Are those going to be your next two picks?
I only get one more.
That's true.
I would have taken either one of those.
Mm.
Let's go a little classic here. I was going to take French onion soup. Creme brulee is a good one. Let's go with a little steak tartare.
Wow. Great pick.
Yeah.
Would it be cheap for me to take tuna tartare?
Not at all. That's just pokey, but sure.
Tuna tartare is phenomenal, but I'm not going to do that.
I'm going steak tartare.
Yep.
I'm sure lobster bisque is a French food.
Is it?
Because bisque sounds French.
Right. Okay. I'll give you that. Okay.
And that's it. I mean, we're done here.
All right. Did you get two? You only got one more pick.
Yeah. I just kind of added a fourth.
Okay. All right. Honorable mention. I am going to take a quiche Lorraine.
Quiche is good.
Yeah.
Quiche Lorraine is good.
This became the draft of French foods that you like that you've actually had.
Yeah.
I've now.
Shout out to bread.
French bread. French baguette.
In France, it's just called bread. So shout out to bread.
I heard bread in France is actually significantly better.
It has to be fantastic.
You haven't had it? I thought you did.
I think I have, but.
Yeah.
Really know if I remember it.
Yeah, I heard like people just want to get full on bread because it's so good.
That's just all of Europe.
Yeah. How much better can bread be? It's just bread.
It's different water, you know?
I guess so. All right. Well, that was the Bad Balance Podcast. We just zoomed through that one.
That was nuts fast.
That was nuts fast. But, I mean, it's a down week. And we'll get the full crew back together. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, everybody.
Love you guys.